What was Saruman's master plan for winning the War of the Ring? Did he even have one, or was he just being an opportunist? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the Lord of the Rings in nerdy detail, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. This is the second in a series of videos breaking down what happened in the War of the Ring, the conflict that was raging in the background and sometimes foreground of the main action in the Lord of the Rings. Last time, we looked at Sauron's plan. He was the main driving force in the war, sending his troops first against Osgiliath, but Saruman wasn't far behind. Indeed, his forces had engaged in three significant battles before Sauron's forces advanced on Minas Tirith. Most of the first phase of the war was actually at his instigation. How and when Saruman turned evil is something I covered in another video, and I'll look elsewhere at the exact nature of the relationship between Sauron and Saruman, but it suffices for now to know that by the start of the war, he was well and truly corrupted, and although he wasn't exactly free of Sauron's influence, he was still his own person, and had his own plans for the coming war. But his contact with Sauron, as well as his extensive spy network, had given him a key advantage. He knew that the Ring was abroad and war was looming, so he could take the initiative. To give Saruman some credit, he does seem to have realised that the war itself was less important than finding and having the Ring. Whoever had the Ring had a huge advantage. That's why he pursued the high-risk strategy of calling Gandalf to Isengard, if Gandalf wanted to come, to try to discover from him exactly where the Ring was. Based on his speech to Gandalf, he seems to have had a prioritised list of objectives that looked something like this. To find the Ring and rule himself, or perhaps make a Ring of Power himself. Failing that, work with Gandalf to rule together with the Ring's power, though he would almost certainly have looked to betray Gandalf and rule alone. Or failing all that, if Sauron got the Ring, or no one did, work with Sauron to become powerful in his new world, with a view to betraying him in the long run. All of that required him to establish his own power base in the short term and play both sides for as long as possible. However, after Gandalf had escaped from Orthanc and the Nazgul came to visit him to ask where the Shire was, and he denied all knowledge, he will have known that the game was up. Certainly Gandalf, Elrond and co. would view him now as another enemy, and Sauron would soon learn of his deception. So he might as well go on the offensive, keep up the hunt for the Ring, and try to solidify his position in the Gap of Rohan. All this had been in his mind for a long time, and he had been spending time preparing, building an army, undermining his neighbouring powers, and building alliances. Merry actually sees this army when he was with Treebeard and the Ents hiding outside Isengard, scouting it out for when they attack later. He tells Aragorn, still later, that all Saruman's people were marching away. I don't know much about this war or about the Horsemen of Rohan, but Saruman seems to have meant to finish off the king and all his men with one final blow. He emptied Isengard. I saw the enemy go, endless lines of marching orcs, and troops of them mounted on great wolves. And there were battalions of men, too. Many of them carried torches, and in the flare I could see their faces. Most of them were ordinary men. Rather tall and dark-haired, and grim but not particularly evil-looking. But there were some others that were horrible. Man-high but with goblin faces, sallow, leering, squint-eyed. Well, of all sorts together, there must have been 10,000 at the very least, said Merry. They took an hour to pass out of the gates. So that's at least 10,000 orcs, Uruk-hai, some on wolfback, men, seemingly Dunlendings, and what appears to be some half-orcs. At the risk of jumping ahead a bit, that force split into two, with some heading to the Fords of Isen, where some will have been lost, and some straight to Helm's Deep, where they were joined by a force of Dunlendings. And Gandalf mentions having to deal with 10,000 orcs at Helm's Deep, so the overall force size here seems to be something over 10,000. Which, if you remember back to last video, is just a fraction of the size of Sauron's army. Hence Saruman wanting to stay on Sauron's good side, if he had one. It is, however, roughly of the same scale as Rohan's army, though that is rather more scattered. After Helm's Deep, where they obviously lost a lot of men, Théoden says that he would perhaps have been able to send 10,000 men to help Gondor, but he needed to hold some back, so he only sent 6,000. So Saruman had upwards of 10,000 soldiers, plus those he sent out to hunt for the ring, like the group that capture Merry and Pippin. And the hunt for the ring clearly took quite a bit of his own attention. It's often overlooked, but Tolkien mentions that that orc band with Merry and Pippin had magical help from Saruman, speeding them on their way. Plus there are all those bird spies for Saruman, scouring the lands. Yes, Saruman knew that if he were to succeed, he needed to find the ring, but one does wonder whether his attention was so distracted by that he missed some rather obvious threats in front of him, like an army of Ents about to march on his home base, for example. Anyway, Saruman's chances of victory required both finding the ring and defeating Rohan. Looking back at the map, it's easy to see why. If you ignore treacherous mountain passes and abandoned dwarven mines, the only route between the west and east of Middle-earth for hundreds of miles is the Gap of Rohan, that stretch of land between the bottom of the Misty Mountains and north of the White Mountains. If you control that, you have a huge tactical advantage. He already had the key stronghold nearby, Isengard, and had fostered an alliance with the people on the west of the Gap, the Dunlendings, historical enemies of Rohan, so now his attention must turn to the Rohirrim. Again, this plan had been in the works for some time. His strategy wasn't just about securing a military victory over the Rohirrim, he was seeking to control the land as a whole. Enter Grima Wormtongue, King Theoden's advisor. Saruman tempted him onto his side by offering him Eowyn after the betrayal was complete. Eowyn may have had something to say on the matter, but Grima clearly didn't care. In exchange, he told Saruman all about Rohan's troop movements and so on, kept Theoden sedated and pliable and not particularly proactive, and sought to take out the other two powerful figures in the court, Theodred, Theoden's son and heir, and Éomer, his nephew, by turning the king against each of them. This was how Saruman got away with building that army for so long. Theoden was in no state to rule, and he ignored Theodred and Éomer who were. Still, those two were a problem. The opportunity to get rid of Éomer arose when he heard of an orc troop entering Rohan. Éomer sought permission from the king to ride out and confront it, but Theoden, under Grima's influence, refused. Éomer went anyway. It's good that he did, because those orcs were the ones that had captured Merry and Pippin. Éomer and his men attacked the orc band, killing them, with some losses, and unbeknownst to them, Merry and Pippin escaped into Fangorn amidst the chaos. Éomer returned to Edoras, encountering Aragorn, Gimli and Legolas along the way, and allowed them free passage without the king's permission. So that was twice he had gone against orders, more than enough for Grima to imprison him. Theodred, meanwhile, was concerned by Saruman's preparations and had gathered a force at the fords of the River Isen. He left some of his force on the east bank and took the rest over the river and north towards Isengard, hoping to catch Saruman's army unprepared. It turns out that Theodred had underestimated both the size and preparedness of Saruman's army. After dealing with the vanguard, he found the main force waiting for him and well dug in. Theodred just about managed to beat a hasty retreat back to the fords when he discovered that a fast-moving force of Uruk-hai, wolf riders and Dunlending cavalry had raced down the east bank and were attacking the force he had left there. Faced with a horrible tactical situation, he sent some forces to help out on the east bank, kept some to hold the west bank, and headed to a small island in the middle of the ford to direct the action and support whoever needed it. Theodred's forces on the east bank soon fell, and their vanquishers raced to attack him and his small guard on that island. Theodred was felled, but Grimbald, his lieutenant, rushed to stand over his still just alive body in defiance, at which point the cavalry arrived, quite literally. Elfhelm and a reserve force from Edoras arrived from the east and immediately charged, catching Saruman's army unawares. The east bank was retaken, and Elfhelm pushed on to that island where he arrived just in time to hear Theodred's final words and see his final breath. And at that, with the battle still in the balance, Saruman's forces suddenly and unexpectedly retreated back to Isengard. It seems that Saruman's orders had not been to secure the fords right then, but simply to kill Theodred, then retreat. The king's son was dead, but Rohan retained control of the fords for the time being, and over the next few hours many of those who'd been scattered in the battle slowly returned to the fords, surprised to find that Rohan was still in control of them. at which point Erkenbrand, who was at the Hornburg, assumed control of the defence of the Westmark. He moved swiftly into action, dispatching riders to Edras seeking more troops, which was ignored by Grima, who was now in complete control of Theoden, gathered stores of food and able-bodied men to defend Helm's Deep, and gave command of the forces near the Isen to Grimbold until he could get there. Grimbold therefore dug in on the east bank of the Isen, while Elfhelm, with his reserve force, headed further east. At which point, let's cut back to Saruman, because this was the moment, with the Rohirrim divided and without support from Edoras, that he pushed his forces well and truly onto the offensive. This time he didn't hold anything back. His objective was to take the fords and destroy as many of the defenders as possible, not just a surgical strike to kill their leader like last time. Grimbold's units were pushed back almost straight away to where Elfhelm was, and they combined forces into a shield wall, which held for a while. But as night fell, Grimbold made the decision to fall back even further to the strongest fortress around, the Hornburg. They reinforced Erkenbrand's garrison there and waited for what would become the Battle of Helm's Deep, or the Hornburg if you prefer, which we will look at in the next video in this series. Because that moment really was the apex of Saruman's war effort. The Fords of Isen had been taken, Theodred slain, large numbers of the Rohirrim killed or scattered around the Westmark. Support from Edras would not be coming because Grima held sway there and Éomer was imprisoned. To top it all, one of his orc warbands had found two hobbits a week earlier and were bringing them back to Isengard. Éomer had taken out those orcs, but even if Saruman knew that, he will now have been sure that the ring was nearby in the land he was just about to conquer. If all had carried on as Saruman had planned, he would have control of Rohan and maybe even the ring itself within days. As I said, this was the apex for Saruman, because unbeknownst to him that very day, two crucial events were taking place. Gandalf healed King Theoden, casting Grima Wormtongue out of Edoras and restoring Theoden to his senses. And in Fangorn, the Entmoot was happening, which obviously culminated in the Ents deciding to march on Isengard. Perhaps we can sense some kind of hubris here with Saruman. He had sent all of his army out to war, clearly believing that with the ford secured and the mountains at his back, he was safe in Orthanc. But he clearly hadn't expected the Ents to take up arms against him, or Theoden to break free from Grima's control, or the intervention of Gandalf, Aragorn, Gimli and Legolas. But all that can wait until the next video in this series, where we break down the legendary Battle of Helm's Deep. My War of the Ring playlist is on the left of your screen now, or if you'd like to see more videos on other aspects of the world of J.R.R. Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist in the centre of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.